Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Tom is not on tonight. He's on a secret mission. He's doing some groundwork, doing something that hopefully is going to be astonishing. I got my buddy, the Swede. This is Rocky. We're standing in for Tom. And instead of me searching for words and stuff, I'm going to go right straight to Miss Margot and Miss Lavella. And they have sent me, I've got some really neat footprint pictures. And are you there, Margo?
Yep, we're here.
Tell me about these footprints. Those are good.
Those are huge, aren't they? We were trying to get closer to them, and the snow was so dang deep let me tell you, it was hard, and up to our waist and spots, we were dropping. That was the closest we could get, but you could tell they're, you know, the distance I was trying to get. I had literally had my 4-foot ruler with to try to measure the distance in between them, but I couldn't get that close.
That last picture that you sent, those are some big footprints, and I could see y'all's footprints. Y'all's footprints ain't near as big.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to kind of give you a couple of shots, you know, as to what I was looking at. You could see the dog trails. You could see how they run. And you see the how far apart those footprints and how huge they are. Man, it's just like, and that's, he's pretty close to the house right there. I bet you Tom would know approximately where that is. TJ would. And it's pretty close to our house. Last Wednesday, like, when my granddaughter was here, she woke me up and said, I dozed off for a couple minutes on her, and she said, Grandma, there's something knocking back there. And when we heard the knocking in the back, then a minute later, we heard knocking towards our vault area, because I live right by our cemetery, and then up the hill, up on Star Hill, we call it, we heard it that way, within, like, minutes of each other. And she was like, what is that knocking? And I didn't want to really say anything, but I said, I think it's those things. That's all I can say. What can I say? I don't... And she was out there, and she was with me trying to barrel through that snow, my granddaughter was, and she was just like, those are huge, Grandma. What would make something that far apart, she was saying. We could see them pretty good where we were standing. I got as far as up to that one tree there, and we had to turn around and come back. It was too deep.
And back in February where the tree snapped.
And go ahead.
Yep, and back in February, completely healthy tree was snapped about 10 feet above
the house. It's like it's probably about a foot or so above the house. But I'll have to take a good picture of that. I don't know what would have snapped that like that, because that was a healthy tree. I mean, to snap it the way it did, and that's right behind my house that was vandalized years ago. And this, I'll have to send you a picture of that too, Rocky.
And this past summer, it was early in the morning, still nice and dewy out on the grass. We went out to go pick cherry tomatoes, and we heard two whoops and then a rock come rolling out of the trees at us.
I just had back surgery that time.
Yep.
And that was
she was barely walking.
I was just really, really busy through the week, and I didn't even see the pictures until tonight, till just before I sent you the text message, and I haven't even had a chance to show them to the Swede yet. I'll do that just as soon as we get off the air. But, they were great.
Yeah,
Margo, what county are you in?
I'm in St. Michael, North Dakota.
Benson
County. We have a huge lake. We have several, actually, a lot of slough area around here. I'm in a very wooded area, secluded area. Where I am, hardly any traffic through here at all. So,
what's the county called?
Benson.
Benson.
Actually, in 5 miles from here, because when PJ and them had come, I had a couple friends. One that was actually hunting him around here. He actually seen two of them. He seen a black one, a big black one. That one, he said, stood there. He sent me a picture of it. It's on my iCloud somewhere. I'm trying to find it. and that's only like probably 4 miles from us. And he was a big black on our hill, and he was a huge black one. The second time, and he collected me hair way up on trees that he had caught like 8-9 feet up in the tree limb. He would find pieces of hair, and he actually brought me some of that hair. And then he quit hunting because the last time, the last one he seen scared him. This one, he said, was light brown with long hair, like the one that we sent TJ a picture of with the, when we had the, I sent TJ a picture of this anyway, and it was, he was laying right by a cam, trail cam in front of our house, and you could see like the hair and the, it looked like the hand to me, the hand also, but, and it kind of looked like that, and that's what he explained to me too, that this one had long, light brown, scrawny hair, longer than the black one did, but that one scared the heck out of it because it started coming towards him and his friend, and he quit hunting after that. It scared the heck right out of him. But, yeah, and then I know of another friend that had a big dog like mine, and he was spotted over, he's about 6 miles away, and there's a big lake right behind where he lives, and he said his two big dogs went missing, and then he said he seen them laying up on a hill behind his house, and here he goes out there, he rides his four-wheeler out there, and he said, these things are twisted. He said, they're twisted. My dog's heads were in the back of them. It twisted their heads right around. And these dogs were, this dog was like 100 pounds. And the head was facing towards the butt. Twisted completely around, just like they out like a wet paper sack. He said, that's how bad it was.
Wow.
So whatever. On his dog back there, and he swears it was Bigfoot because his neighbor that lives probably 100 yards from him and his wife were out walking. He shared that on Facebook at one time, and he had a good picture of a big black one walking in the hills back there. And that's like about 6 miles from us. They call that Devil's Heart, and that's secluded, pretty secluded area. A big lake there.
I see you're right in the region where it seems like most of the activity is centered. Only two counties away is Ward County, and it shows that McKenzie, Ward, Montreal, and McLean counties are ones that have BFRO reports. Now, folks, I just want to say this for the record. There are not many people in North Dakota. It's not a hugely populated area. Not a lot of people there. But because, Margo, she's in Benson County, and she's surrounded by other counties that have reports, this all makes sense. For it to be happening in her region, because it's all right there in the northern part of the state, the north, about the mid, part of the state in the northern region, where all the activity on the BFRO is, has reports. Now, just for the record, where I live, there's only 12 reports for the county of Kern, and that doesn't mean that that's all that's there, because I've been conducting, in interviews and stuff like that. And if I were to add all the reports that I've, uncovered just doing interviews with people, it would bring Kern County up to about 30 reports. So the fact that Margo lives in a county that's right next to other counties where the activity is centered, and the fact that there is not that many people living in North Dakota. If it was hugely populated, there would be a lot more reports on the BFRO, but like I said, just because the BFRO only has a certain amount of reports, that doesn't mean that there ain't a whole lot more. A lot of people are afraid to bring their stuff to, you know, to the table. Some people just don't do it. They don't know how to process it. They don't even know where to drop it off or who to talk to about it. And so this all makes sense that, you know, where you're having all this stuff happening, it all makes sense just by looking at the database. You know, it all fits like a hand in glove where you're at, Margo.
Yep, and a lot of people around here think it's the spirit. I don't believe that. It's just too much. I mean, the stuff that happens around here is too much. Lavella wanted to tell a little bit, too, of her experiences by staying out here and stuff with me. And
oh, yeah. It, 2 months ago, actually, I was in the living room watching TV, held all the lights off, and I could hear rocks being thrown on the roof. And it kept me up all night long till early in the morning. It finally stopped. We go outside and there's pebbles outside on the ground, and there's like five snow. Now, where are they getting pebbles from? It's just being thrown at the roof.
Yeah, and that getting thrown at the window when we see something standing in the corner over here, and then something comes flying at my window. But what was it, another one throwing something? I don't know. We don't know how many is around here, you know.
So,
kind of scary.
Yeah. Late at night, you can hear walking behind the house, walking and dragging. Go take a step and then drag, step and drag. And that's pretty scary.
Hey, I accessed my trail cam, but I'm trying to figure out how to get this dang thing loaded. Because it might have, when I start dragging behind our house here, oh, that thing was heavy, I don't know what it was dragging, but it was pretty heavy, whatever was walking back there. But
the grunting.
It grunts, yep, we hear grunting, a lot of grunting. There's a lot in the back of it. Like, it seems like it happens behind the house. Sometimes it's right beside my window that's looking facing towards our cemetery, and it's just right there. Sometimes we hear grunting. Oh, it's kind of scary. And that other question I was going to ask you guys, like, I wonder if the babies are camouflaged, because one time one of my nieces came up, her and her daughter, and they come running in, and they said, look at your cameras, look at your cameras. And they said, we just seen a little tiny white furry, all white with red eyes. And it ran right in front of your house. It was a little tiny one, probably about 3 feet tall, 3.5 feet tall, they said. And it ran right in front of your house, and it looked at us. It stopped. It looked at us. Look in your camera, she said, and I did. And you could see two little red eyes. You could see something. It moved really fast, and it was gone just as fast. But it was all white and hairy, they said.
Well, you know, most animals, baby animals, are camouflaged in one way or another. Most all of them. I mean, look how many, me and the Swede, when we were out in the woods, we walked up on a fawn laying there, and I mean to the point of almost stepping on one before we realized it was there. Of course, we went ahead and we left them alone. We was hunting for their daddy. It was one of the Black Bear brothers. He lived on the Rosebud Reservation. Me and my dad used to go there and shoot prairie dogs. But he told us, well, the two brothers told me and my dad about seeing something that was just, it was really, really huge and all hairy and everything. And, well, it was, you know, we said, well, you know, where would something like that, where would there be enough food out here? And then we saw the population of, I mean, all kinds of deers, all kinds of stuff for them to eat. And I said, well, you know, where's the water source? And he said, look around. He said, there's windmills pumping water 24/7. And so, yeah, that was in South Dakota. We were in South Dakota. But the black bears were, I think they were Ogallala Sioux.
Yeah,
they told us some pretty wild tales. Wild enough that, you know, a man always wanted to sleep with his 44 Magnum real handy.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
No doubt. No doubt.
Margo, I'd like to ask you some questions and tell you some stuff that you might do. Margo?
Excuse me?
Tell you, you know, you've got those footprints right there, and I just keep thinking about it over and over. I'm going to bring it up to you. You know, you got those footprints right there, and I know it's snow and all of that. But you can get an opportunity to get close to those footprints, however you do, if you could get up there close to them and look inside of them and see if there's any hair that's shed in that white snow, that you could see any hair that may
uh-huh.
have come off of that creature in that snow, and gather it up and put it in a Ziploc bag and hold on to it, would you?
Oh, heck yeah. actually, I'm planning, like, when we go up in the hills here, I'm going to be looking up in the trees for pieces of hair like my friend did, and he found so much way up there.
There's just so much activity here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, there's definitely something. I want y'all to be extra careful, you know, extra careful when you're out there. But check those footprints out whenever, before that thaw keeps coming, and see if there's any hair in those footprints. You can't cast them because it won't cast in that snow like it should. It's probably going to be pretty melty. But you'll see that hair if there's any present, and gather it up. Put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in the freezer and mark it with a Sharpie, you know, Bigfoot hair. And, you know, when we get up there, we'll get a chance to look at it. And I bet you that Tom would be more than excitable to get those off to the lab and check and see what kind of a DNA screen would pop up on those. And we can find out pretty quick if it's something unknown or if it's something known. So please do that. If you do find hair, be very careful with the bag. You know, get yourself a big, you know, plastic bag that has not been touched by anything. And, you know, if you find the hair, try to put on a pair of latex gloves and then grab a bag, pull it freshly out of the box, stick your hand inside the bag, and then pinch the hair, and then pull the bag inside out, and then close it. And that'll keep it from being contaminated.
Yeah, I got you. I know what you mean there. Yeah,
that's good. That's good information, Chris.
Yeah.
And another way we tell when it's close is her animals act differently. They get real quiet. They all stare in the same direction.
Yep. Or they all come running in.
They won't move. They'll get real quiet and get down low to the floor.
Yep. It's like they know it is around, and they'll all be inside, every one of them.
Their behavior changes.
Yep. I know they get scared. They know not to go by. You know, before, like, he got away from him or something, because he came down with some pretty good wounds on his neck and that, and my nephew's dog did not. He came back. He didn't come back at all. He found him up there in the spring. He said it didn't look like he was beaten by dogs or anything, but something got him, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So We don't know what it was. And like I said, that same day he went missing, my dog came down. They were all up in the hills together. And they all just run up in the hills, and they have their own paths and whatnot. And they ran up in the hills, and my Spike came back, and he would not go out for the rest of the night. And he had gashes on his throat like he was grabbed, and I had to, they were so deep. I don't know what could have done it to him, and he was scared. And ever since then, now he runs. He runs inside now, so he never was that fear, you know. That was like about last spring that happened to him. So he's been pretty shaky ever since when that thing's around. So maybe that's what got him. I don't know. Or almost
okay.
Got him. And
I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Margo's, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. I'm looking at Margo's pictures here, and there's 10 prints. And then to the to the side of them is some smaller, looks like boot prints. But the prints themselves, they got dog tracks right there by them, but they're big. They're really big. I'll send these to you just as soon as we get off the off the air, so you'll like
them. That'd be good. Send them to Chris too, so he can look at them.
Three, four
two,
of them that went back.
Really? All the way back.
Ooh. He has been walking. He has to have a trail because...
I was too scared to look because they're so big and so close to the house.
Yeah, too close to the house. Yeah, we had them so close. Right out my window. Right into my garden area. We had them. I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy.
I also have a picture here of somebody standing beside a Bigfoot statue. Who is that?
I don't know. That can't be mine.
Margo, how close are you to the black?
How close are you to the black hill?
Geez, I'm like 12 hours away.
Okay.
I'm a long way away from the Black Hills.
Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Hey, Rocky, how about let's get to a commercial and we'll take this up after we come back.
Okay, and I'll tell everybody right now, this isn't a Bud Light commercial.
Well, there you go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going into the
trees
right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced him I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Thank you.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. And before we go any further, I want to say happy Easter to you too, Martha. And thank you. Maybe like, thank you. Okay.
I got a couple of questions for you, Margo. Where you live, what is the terrain like? Is it flat, rolling hills? Is there mountains around? What's it look like?
It's a lot of woods, a lot of hills, a big lake, a bunch of little lakes around here. Just a lot of hills, a lot of woods. I know a lot of guys come fishing here from all different states. This is one of the biggest fishing holes they have. They have big fishing contests and tournaments here, too. So, but I know that he was spotted out in Zeba's Pass, too. So
What's the name of the nearest lake that you have?
Devil's Lake.
Oh, geez. Well, they say the devils are in the detail. I mean, if anybody's familiar with investigator David Pilates, who authored America's Missing 411, one of the main things, now this is crazy, I don't know if you know about this, Margo, but one of the main things that people have associated with these creatures is the Native Americans have a lot of their translation names. In other words, because all the Native Americans have different names for it, but a lot of them kind of translated to river devil, creek devil, mountain devil, trickster, wizard of the woods, cannibal giant of the woods. They weren't really good names. And for a place like Devil's Lake, I'm sure that the Native Americans had named it that first. And then when the settlers came into the area and started populating the area, I'm sure that they had taken, you know, whatever the Native Americans had called it and then translated it to English, and the name stayed. So here's the crazy thing, you know, where I had my encounters up north in Northern California, when I got followed by one down Hagen Flat Road down there in Shasta County, I didn't know about all this stuff until I started listening to David Pilates about the place names on the maps, you know, like the Devil's Lake, Devil's Canyon, Devil's, you know, River or whatever. And where I had my encounter, where I got followed, when I started looking at the map of the direct vicinity of where I had my encounter, there was two Devil's Mountain. There was a Little Devil's Mountain, Little Devil's Mountain, and there was three different Devil's Canyons, all within a 7-mile radius as the crow flies. And so I was just blown away, and now I'm blown away by the fact that you have a Devil's Lake right next to you. And this all makes sense, that this is why this is happening over there where you're at.
And there's a Devil's Heart, Devil's Tooth here, Devil's Lake. There's we're only a mile from the lake, about a mile and a half from the lake.
That's fascinating. And that was one of the other questions I was going to ask, but you already answered it. I was going to ask, is there a water source near you? And, you know, basically, yes, there is. There's several of them. So it all makes sense.
Us is Ski Jump Hill.
No, our hill's higher than Ski Jump.
The next
highest hill is Ski Jump Hill. And that there one had stories of a monster up there. I know there's legends of that up there. But this is a half man and half horse, I believe they say, or half deer or something. Mm-hmm. Elk, some kind of, but he's half and half. And bad things happened up there, and a lot of them. And
I believe in these things that these hybrids, and a lot of the Native Americans call them shapeshifters and wendigos and et cetera. But, I mean, in the Book of Enoch, which is a book that was taken out of the Bible right around 400 A.D., because it didn't reflect what the church was trying to teach at the time. But when it did talk about the angels, you know, rebelling in heaven and coming down to earth and mating with the daughters of men because they saw the women comely and they wanted to start families of their own, and they created unclean hybrids. Their offspring were giants. They were like the Goliaths or the Titans of their time. And, you know, when they realized they blew it, they asked for clemency. They petitioned Holy Enoch, who was a holy scribe, who was in direct contact with the Creator, for forgiveness, that they may be forgiven for their rebellion. And the Creator was like, you know, no deal, no clemency, because you guys were created for me. The human population are naturally going to make mistakes, but you guys were perfect. You were created for me only, and no deal. And so they started to rebel here on earth, and they started messing with the animals, the horses, the cows, creating centaurs and minotaurs, and the birds, the dogs, like in Egypt, where you have Horus and Anubis, you know, basically a mothman and a dogman or werewolf, what you might call it. So I believe that these things, there are other things out there, and I don't want to run into one. But I got to get running. It was good talking with you guys, and I got to go and do some stuff here before the stores close. And we'll see you guys soon. I'll probably check you guys next week. And be careful out there, Margo. Be careful.
Okay.
You got a lot of stuff going on. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Sweet and Rocky. You guys have a good night.
You better believe.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, Chris. That's Chris from the Sierras there in California. And it's always
That's
a pleasure to have him on the show with us.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah. I'm talking about
that's, that's good. That's good stuff. I'll tell you what, Margo, though, I can't tell you. We're so glad that you and your granddaughter and your friend got to come on and tell us about what you saw and the photographs. I can't wait to see those. We'll forward those on to Chris, too, and let him take a look at them at the same time. And, yeah, I did want to say happy Easter to everybody. I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter weekend. The weather was fairly good here. We had a pretty good weekend with family and such.
Well, we had our North Dakota, we had the big storm, and now we're in the melting. We're in the 40s and 50s now, so basically.
Lots of mud.
Lots of mud.
There's going to be lots of mud, Margo.
Come on and tell you a couple stories of her own here, you know.
Jump right in.
Oh, yeah, you know what happened in November, too, guys. My nephew, he was walking up St. Michael's, and this is like 4 miles, 5 miles away, and here he got into the trailer park here. You know, it's kind of used to be a trailer park, but, and he was walking back, and here he got so far walking up. Here he said something, he can hear something heavy walking behind him, like something was following him. And he said for a long ways as soon as he hit the trailer court, or, you know, on our road coming in. And
right.
It's a good long ways. And here he said right by, and then he said it sounded like it was in the trees, though, and crunching heavy. And then he kind of got scared. So he took off running. When he got closer up to my area, he took off running. Here he said, honest to God, he said, I swear it crossed right there, Auntie, right down on your road, right there where you always say you know it's crossing because the dogs are raising heck. And that's what they do. They really start raising heck at night. I know it's either crossing. And here he said, and then it was, I heard it behind your big house next. He said, just that fast. that was right behind your big house before I even made it up the hill part, right by your yard, like he said. It was, it crossed right behind. And he swears to God, and it stunk, he said. And this is November. You shouldn't be able to really smell it. He said, I had a funny smell came, he said. He said, I took off running. He said, I figured it was that thing you, that bugs you, he said. He said, I don't want to see it. He said, he never wants to see it.
I hope that you get some pictures caught on your camera. And we could get those on the website. Check those out, too, on your game camera. I know it's bad weather and all. I've been seeing you've been getting a lot of snow, but I did notice that it was warming up, like you said, so get ready for the mud. And hopefully a lot of that snow will melt away while it's warm weather for a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah, I think we're going to have nice weather from now on, and it's supposed to rain on Friday, so that'll get rid of a lot of the wetness, but I don't know how.
And that's what I want to touch on that a little bit, Margot. I want to touch on that. You know, it's going to be time for the spring migration as the weather warms a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of more movement. There'll be some stuff going on, like you say, about your berry patches and stuff are going to start coming on and stuff here in June and July. And you're going to be seeing a lot of activity across the country. It's going to start popping up, and there's going to be a lot of movement as it warms. And I want everybody to be aware and to be cautious, too, because everybody forgets. But don't forget about the ticks and the chiggers. Put some spray on so you don't get those guys on you. And be aware of snakes and stuff. My dog killed a snake in my backyard with my grandson and my wife this morning. So things to be aware of as springtime's coming on, but it's a wonderful time for movement, and as the creatures start moving around, there's going to be some more sightings. Of course, the leaves come on, and it's hard to see them as the wood's thicken up, and you get dense again, and you can't see through there as much. But I'm looking forward to a lot of reports from our listeners around the world, and we'll get some photographs in, and wanted to let everybody know that you're always welcome to come on and talk about what you see and what you've heard and your experiences with that. And we're getting really excited. I just know spring is about the spring. It's about sprung, so get ready. Margo, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier about something throwing rocks up on top of your house. In my stepdad had some land over in Bear Hollow, and I was in bed asleep out there at the cabin, and something hit up on top of the cabin. You know, it wasn't, you know, no big thing or anything. But so I was kind of dozing, and it just kept happening. And I decided, well, it was probably hickory nuts falling off the tree. But then the next morning I got up, and I walked out on the porch, and I realized there was no hickory trees around there, no acorns. There was just bunches and bunches of pebbles up on top of the cabin. Well, not very many things throw little stones on top of your house. About the only thing out there that actually has an opposing thumb would be a coon, and they don't throw rocks at you either. But,
well, I got four nights in a row. It happened four nights in a row.
One time it was more than a rock. I think it was like a head or something that hit it, and they kind of raced out with us. But I'm gonna send you that picture of that tree that's healthy as heck. No reason for it to snap where it did. No reason at all. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it's a good healthy tree. But why it snapped right? And like I said, that thing's always walking behind my old home there. And so maybe it grabbed it or something. I don't know. But it sure broke it. I'm going to look to for signs when we go walking around and stuff this summer. Definitely I'll be having my camera with a lot, my phone with all the time. I gotta, if I run across something, I'll have to document it.
I almost want to put GoPros on your dogs when they take off and go see what they see.
Yeah, I know. That would be awesome when they hit the hills and have that
dog.
Yeah, put a GoPro on the dog and let them see what they see out there, what they're doing up in the hills, and if they ever run across that thing and run from it maybe. I don't know. That would be interesting.
I would just like to put a GoPro on my four-wheeler and go out to our little section of the world. And I mean, we've seen footprints. We had something that had big feet come into the camp and steal my fruit out of the tree, not 8 foot from me while I was sleeping. We've had a lot of experiences out in our hot spot. The Swede and another guy, where there's three of us out there on four wheelers, and the Swede and the other guy, they were ahead of me. I was doing wrecker service, pulling the one guy out every time he'd drowned his four-wheeler out. So they were quite a ways ahead of me. I come out of the brush off the trail, and the Swede was standing there, had his 44 Magnum in his hand. The other guy was obviously scared to death, and he was telling me, he said, "I don't want to be here because I don't have a gun." Fortunately, I had a spare. But anyhow, the Swede and Jimmy saw one about 100 yards down the creek, and I didn't see it. I said, "Well, let's go down there and look." And you could see where it ran out of the water, it kicked water way up on the rocks. And then there was a footprint about halfway up the bank, and then there was one on the very top of the bank. Well, couldn't any of us do that. But our little area, we spent a lot of time there through the years. And we're dying to go back, but we've been so busy trying to keep Joe Biden paid off that we haven't had a chance to go out.
Yeah. The economy.
Well, you know, I think we need to do one more non-Bud Light commercial before we go, just because we got to pay bills.
Okay.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to
challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lungian. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And here we are back again.
Well, hello.
Hello. All right. Well, you know, we've had a good time tonight. We've enjoyed the stories. And Tom always says, oh, you know, Rocky and the Sweet are going to tell you a story. Well, tonight we've heard lots of stories. Unless the Sweet has something, I don't have any stories for tonight. But
no, I don't have a story, but you know what, we could get something right here at the end of the show. Maybe we could hear a little story from the big hairy man himself. You got any of that?
He called in earlier to me a message. Let's see.
On TV.
There you go.
That's
wow.
Crazy.
And that was, and then we had this one. Okay, that was Ron Moorhead's Sierra Sounds.
That's what we hear. What we hear. Whoop, whoop. Really, yeah.
Really.
Well.
It sounds funny like that, but that's how it sounds when it like whoops, and then sometimes you'll hear tapping on trees. It's kind of.
And then it throws big rocks at us.
Yeah, then it throws rocks at us. And then, you know what else? I didn't tell you. I don't know if I told you this, but Bubba put up this board, and he put a bunch of nails on it, and he put it up about 12 feet high in a tree, and we put apples on every one of them. And
oranges
so,
and salmon.
Yeah, we even put salmon. We put some apples on there, and here, lo and behold, the ones on top, we had to get on a pickup, and we stood up on the hood on my pickup, and we put the apples up there and some salmon. By the end of the afternoon, we did it in the morning. The afternoon, the ones on top were all gone, but there was no cores, no nothing there. Nothing.
Me and the Swede.
Nothing.
me and the Swede used to hang. We would boil apples. What else was it?
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, apples, and blackstrap molasses. And we would dip pieces of a tow sack in it and hang it in the trees. And, you know, when we would go back through checking them, the ones that were still hanging, we'd just take a squirt bottle and spray a little water on it and get it wet again. And anyhow, we got a lot of action over that, but we didn't have game cameras or anything like that. And so
we didn't have them.
And panicking, remember to grab the phone and start.
I know we panic when we hear.
I panic
stuff
and take off
this.
Running.
Yeah,
I take off running
because we don't know what to do. We don't know if it's gonna try to come barging in, or we don't know how close he is. Sometimes he sounds so damn close back there, you know, and it's kind of panic a lot. I don't know where she tries to run to, but we're inside the house. But she's trying to run.
Well, you know what they say, that you don't have to be faster than Bigfoot. You just have to be faster than the person with you. So.
Well, I dusted Lavella when we seen him up on the hill picking berries. We went up to pick berries that time.
I didn't see
her
right away.
Nope, she didn't see him right away.
She was trying to tell me, but I was, you know, really go picking the berries, and then I just happened to look to my left, and it looked like it was trees with shrubbery around and a big black shadow. Well, it kind of looked like a cow, so I didn't really pay too much attention until I seen an arm go up, reached up, grabbed a bush or like berries, pulled it down, and put it in its mouth, and I backed away. And by the time I backed away and I turned around to look, well, Margo was already running. She was running down the hill. Turned the dog, and they was looking at it, backing away, and I just dropped the bucket and I took off running. All really screaming.
And to boot, there was no cows up there. We have no cows. I told her,
how they lay down on their sides.
I told her.
Like
I call her Baby Ann, her nickname. I said, Baby Ann, run. And me and my dog took off running. She, oh, man.
Well,
so
who,
he was
I want to know who went back up and got the berries.
Oh my God.
We drove my Bronco up there the next day and we looked up by the berry patch and it was all and it was pretty much cleared out that part, but that tree was, but we ended up picking berries even though we seen what the heck we seen, but we had a vehicle that time.
And we backed into the bush
and we stayed.
Girls, the clock is going off saying it's time to go. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you calling in. You made the night all right.
We took up the whole show. Sorry.
No. It was good. I enjoyed it. I don't care who else, whether anybody else did or not. But thank
you
all for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Margo.
And
thank you guys. It's always fun to see you guys.
Well, we'll see everybody next Wednesday. And until then, I want to tell everybody good night.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good evening.
Keep on Bigfoot.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night, y'all.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Thomas.